Okay, why don't you get your Bibles out? If you don't have a Bible, the ushers have one for you. And I did have some things that we're going to be looking at on the projector, very basic stuff. So if you want to write notes, I forgot to ask the ushers to have paper ready. But I'm sure that they can find some paper for you to write with. Because you're probably going to want to write down something. You're going to recognize this information if you've been a Christian for a while. Then you've probably heard this information. There's a lot of it, and it's really, really good stuff. It's information too that we forget sometimes, and as children of God, it's important information that we should have so that we can walk the walk that God has put in front of us, the path that God has put in our lives. We've been doing a series, Finding Your Destiny, and each one of us is like a snowflake. We're all very, very, very different. There's no two of us that are exactly the same. You can be a twin, but you're still different. And there is a specific destiny for every single person that's sitting here today. And it's different from the person sitting next to you or sitting behind you or across the auditorium from you. And you're a unique creation. And God has something specifically, has a destiny for you. And so we've been discussing different things that you need to remember and that you need to keep a matter of prayer and you need to really get down into your heart so that you can stay on that specific path or that specific plan, that specific destiny that God ordained for you even before you were born. When you were in your mother's womb, God knew exactly, he saw the whole plan. And I think that is one of the most exciting things to sit and meditate on, is that before I was fully formed, before anybody laid eyes on me, God knew exactly who I was and exactly what he wanted me to do, who he wanted me to be, okay? So our focus for August, like I have said, is finding your destiny. Diane talked a couple weeks ago on temperaments. We all have them. There's four basic temperaments. Did you identify, if you were here, do you identify what temperament you are? We have a primary and a secondary mostly. That was there when God formed you. Okay? Your temperament was there from the very beginning. And then last week, Pastor taught on motivational gifts, or he said they were functional gifts. You can find them in Romans chapter 12. And Pastor pointed out that we're one body, but we all have different functions. And once again, those are gifts that God gave to you specifically. Okay? How you function in the body of Christ. Today we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 to get ready there. But the gifts of the Spirit are for everybody. Every single one of us can operate in every single gift of the Spirit. Amen. Okay? It's not that Bill, who is a leader expresser, and I believe his motivational gifts are administration and I don't remember. He can operate in all the gifts of the Spirit. Jan has a different temperament and different functional gifts, but she can operate in all gifts of the Spirit. Okay, it's not like Doreen just has one, Chuck has another. We all can operate in any of these gifts that we're going to be talking about today. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit has been given as a gift to the church to make sure that the continued ministry of the resurrected Christ is expressed and verified. Okay, so these gifts in manifestation are a sign that the Holy Spirit's at work. All right, in the church and out of the church. When we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, most of the time our mind automatically goes to, well, this is how the Holy Spirit operates in the church. It shouldn't just be that way. All of these gifts can operate outside the church. Some of them you're going to see more often in the church, but they all should be operating outside of the church as well. Okay? Holy Spirit wants to move constantly. wants to move constantly. A lot of times he can't manifest because he doesn't have operators. You're going to hear me use that term a lot today. Operators. We want to be operators. Like I said, all of us can operate in every single one of these gifts of the Spirit. Somebody tell me how many there are. Do you know? If I had candy, I'd throw it at you. Right, Solid Rock Kids? Good job. 9 gifts of the Spirit. And they're separated into 3 different groups of 3 different gifts. As an analyst, I like that. Okay? We, going back to our destiny, we are destined to be used by the Holy Spirit. When God created you, that was your part of your destiny.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus left. He said it's beneficial that the Holy Spirit come, but he needs operators to work through. Okay? He needs to manifest through us. So we're all destined. That's part of our destiny, is to be used by the Holy Spirit. Okay? That is and always has been the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, when you look at that word desire there, that word desire means be zealous for, to pursue ardently, to desire eagerly, or intensely. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be pursuing spiritual gifts, okay? Now, the entire church, not just leadership. It's very easy to sit back and say, oh, Diane can prophesy. Pastor can operate in the gifts of healings, so the working of miracles, okay? I could never do that. You know, but it's for the entire church. It's all of our destiny. Many times there's not more of a manifestation of spiritual gifts because only a small percentage of people actually are zealous for it. When we come to church on Sunday morning, even, or when you wake up every single day, we should say, Holy Spirit, you want to move? You want to move where I am today? I choose to be an operator today.
Amen.
You want to prophesy through me? Go for it. You want me to be used in tongues and interpretation? Go for it. You want me to have the gift of faith today so that I can move mountains? You go for it. Okay? All we have to do is present ourselves as operators. Okay? Our motivation for the gifts, it says there, pursue love. He put that in there first. Our motivation for the gifts should be love above all. Okay? Believers Church at Glenville, we endeavor to love God, love people, and serve others. Okay? This is part of loving people. If you love people, you want the Holy Spirit to be able to operate through you to minister to them. Amen? Okay, now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where we're going to plant ourselves for a little while. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start right in verse 1, and I'm going to read all the way through 11, and then I'll go back and we'll dissect it a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All right, go back to verse 1. It says, now concerning, Paul was answering the Corinthian church's questions. There was a lot of stuff going on in the Corinthian church that shouldn't have been going on. They misunderstood the manner that the Holy Spirit works. And there was all sorts of flaky things going on. And spiritual gifts were leading to lots and lots of confusion in the meetings. So one of the questions that they were asking was concerning spiritual gifts. That's why he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. In other words, he's going to answer some questions here. He's going to set it straight for them, okay? He says, also when he said concerning spiritual gifts, that word gifts actually just means spiritual things. He's saying concerning spiritual things, this is what I want you to know, okay? Don't be ignorant, first of all. Ignorant means to not understand, to be wrong, to sin through mistake. He said, don't be ignorant about spiritual things. I think he's still saying that to us today, right? Because we can totally get off either on two ends of the ditch. Either we think it's not for me, it's not for today, it's only for somebody else. Or on the other side of the ditch, is not really understanding and getting flaky. Okay? Now go to verse 7. Okay? It says, the manifestation of the gift is given to each one for the profit of all. Manifestation is basically just something visible, right? And like I said before, the manifestation of the Spirit is basically just watching the Spirit move. And it's given to each one for the profit of all. Each one, meaning, once again, every man. Every man who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, every disciple, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to. Okay? For the profit of all. When the Holy Spirit becomes manifested, everybody is benefited. Never is anybody taken from. Never is anybody hurt by it, it's benefited by all. Now look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That's the key right there. If you have a pen, your Bible open, and you don't have as he wills underlined, underline it. Circle it. Star it. Whatever. You cannot decide, I'm going to prophesy today because I learned something really cool this week in the Bible, and I'm going to decide to present that as a word from God. Or I'm going to operate in the working of miracles, the word of wisdom. No. All we do is present ourselves as an operator, say, I'm willing to do this, Holy Spirit. And if you give me that unction, if you give me that sign, that nudging, then I will operate, okay? It's as he wills. The Holy Spirit is here today. He knows exactly what should happen in this service. And if he wills for one of these things to manifest, then he needs an operator here to do it, okay? I see a lot of people fanning themselves. Is it warm in here? Do we need to turn the air conditioning up a little bit? Okay, so let's dig into them. In between those two verses, 7 and 11, it listed the 9 gifts of the Spirit there. So let's talk, first of all, about revelation gifts. Revelation gifts are gifts that reveal something. And the first one we're going to be talking about is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purposes in the mind and the will of God. Let me say that again. It's a supernatural revelation by the Spirit concerning the divine purposes in the mind and the will of God. And the word of wisdom has to do with future events. So it's future. Turn to Acts 27, and I'll show you an example of this. Acts chapter 27. Verse 21. Okay, we're going to read down to verse 26. Acts 27, 21 to 26. After a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and have not sailed. They were on the boat and they were in the midst of a storm. You have not you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Okay? So Paul, in this instance, received a word of wisdom from who? An angel. Okay? And he said what was going to happen. You're not going to perish. You're going to run aground, but it's going to be okay. Okay? Future. See that? Okay? God was giving him a message through an angel about something that was going to happen to him future. Okay? These things, how many of you think that you have had a word of wisdom spoken to you? Probably a lot of us. Okay? Many, many times, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. Many a times, a word of God, what we call it prophecy, which it is, can come in the form of a word of wisdom. If God speaks something specifically to you that has not happened yet, that could be a word of wisdom. Telling you something. And you know what? It's not going to happen automatically. That is the will of God, but it's not going to happen automatically. If you don't believe in your heart what's been spoken to you, probably won't happen. And a lot of times, I believe that this is what is known as warring prophecies. Okay? Meaning that you have to meditate on what God spoke to you. If God spoke something to you and it didn't make much sense at the time, just meditate on it a little bit. You don't want to, we're not trying to make it happen, but we're trying to believe it in our heart and put us in a spot where God can bring that to pass. Got it? So especially with word of wisdom. All right, number two, the word of knowledge. This is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning certain facts and events already known by the mind of God. Now, the way that this differs between from the word of wisdom is this is concerning past or present facts or events. Okay? This would be the type of word that would say specifically, well, there was a word recently to me through Dr. Lemon that said, I sense some dissatisfaction with some things in your life. Word of knowledge, okay? Dr. Lemon didn't know that, okay? But that was God saying something specific about a present thing that was going on with me. All right? You don't know it any other way but by the Spirit. Look at John chapter 4, and we'll look at an example of that. John chapter 4, verse 16. 16 to 19, Jesus said to her, now he was talking to the woman at the well, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I don't have any husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Jesus didn't know that beforehand, but by the word of knowledge. Do you understand that? See how that, it's knowing something that you wouldn't normally know, but it was by the Holy Spirit that you know it, okay? How many of you believe that you've had a word of knowledge spoken to you? How many of you believe that you possibly may have operated in the word of knowledge? Okay? Word of knowledge is a knowing that, you know, maybe if you're ministering or maybe if you're called, you know, if you are used in a service, knowing that somebody is dealing with depression, knowing that somebody is dealing with a huge decision that they have to make. It's just that knowing that this is going on. Knowing that somebody has a sickness in a certain part of their body. Word of knowledge. Okay? All right, next one. Oh, no, let me go over a couple of things before I go to the next one. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge come in many forms. It can come in an audible voice. Do you remember Eli and Samuel? Okay, Samuel heard his name, and he was given a word of wisdom for Eli. Remember that? Okay. We just talked about Paul being comforted by an angel. Okay, audible voice. It can come by a vision. Remember Peter on the rooftop, and he sees a vision that instructs him to open the door of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles? Remember that? It can come by a vision. A dream. Do you remember Joseph? Joseph had the dream, the word of wisdom about future events. He was going to be over his brothers, okay? A word of prophecy. We've talked about that. A word from God can contain word of wisdom and word of knowledge and tongues and interpretation, okay, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Number three, revelation gift. Again, these are gifts that reveal something. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal something, and these are the ways that he could do it. Discerning of spirits is number three. The discerning of spirits is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit by which the operator is able to see into and distinguish the spirit realm. What's in the spirit realm? Demons, angels, Jesus. There's people that have actually seen Jesus in the spirit realm, okay? Let's look at an example of that. Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Okay, this is Elisha and his servant Gehazi. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God, Gehazi, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. So they're in the middle of this battle, and he goes out, and he sees this huge amount of horses and chariots. And he says to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Don't fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now in the natural, he could have seen, what the heck is he talking about? There's a lot more of them than there is with us. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." The Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He saw in the spirit realm what God was preparing to do. Okay? Discerning of spirits. All right. Second set of gifts are the power gifts. There's three of them. These are gifts that do something. The first one is the gift of faith. The gift of faith is a supernatural endowment by the Spirit of God whereby the operator is enabled to believe and act on the promise of God beyond his measure of God-given faith. Have we all been given a measure of faith? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're a disciple, you have faith. But this goes beyond. This kind of adds it to your own faith. And somebody said, it's like God pulling a plug out in the back of your head and letting all the doubt run out. Amen. I love that. Amen. The Amplified Bible calls it wonder-working faith. Another translation calls it special faith. Okay? This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Different from our natural faith that we've been given as a child of God. Every disciple should operate in faith every day, but the gift of faith operates as the Spirit wills and goes beyond our own general faith, okay? There's lots and lots by lots of biblical illustrations of this. What about Moses being told to leave his homeland? He had no idea where he was going. That took a gift of faith. Pastor and Diane talk about the same thing. When they went to Ramah, they had no idea. They knew a little bit about Ramah, but they had no idea what God had in store for them, but they packed up and they left, okay? Gift of faith. How about Noah building the ark? Amen. Building this huge ark, and supposedly it was going to rain. They hadn't seen rain, okay? But he did it anyway. How about Jesus fasting in the wilderness for 40 days? Have you ever tried to fast for 40 days? Okay? That had to take special faith. All right. How many of you think that you've experienced special faith? Okay. I had a situation, I think it's been 3 or 4 years ago now, where I had an episode, woke up in the middle of the night, and was experiencing the signs of a stroke. And at the time, I didn't even think stroke. I was starting to manifest these things in my body. My right arm was numb. My mouth was drooping. But looking back on that, I totally caught hold of the fact that this is, no. This is not going to lead to anything devastating. I just started to pray in tongues and knew what I knew to do. I mean, I just latched right a hold. It was like that doubt just went out. Like, I didn't go to, oh my gosh, I'm having a stroke and I'm going to do this and this is going to happen. By the time I got to the emergency room, all the manifestations were gone. They did tests on me all day long and found absolutely nothing, but said, we think you had a TIA, but because all the symptoms had happened, but there was nothing to back it up. And looking back on that, there was a total peace, it's very hard to explain. If you've ever had this manifest in your life, then it's very difficult to explain. It just happens, okay? And you look back on it, and that's when you realize, praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. All right. Number two, working of miracles. This is works of a supernatural origin and character, such as could not be produced by natural agents or means. Works of a supernatural origin and character, such as could not be produced by natural agents or means. Okay? Through the gift of faith, you can receive a miracle. Through the working of miracles, you work the miracle. See the difference? Through the gift of faith, you receive a miracle. Through the working of miracles, you operate in that. You are working a miracle. Think about Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000. He worked that miracle. He knew what he heard he needed to do. Take those 5 loaves and 2 fish and start passing them out. First, he thanked God for it. He expected it to happen. Then he started passing this out, and God was able to work that miracle. Okay? But Jesus was the operator there. Moses at the Red Sea lifted up the rod. Red Sea parted. Again, Moses was the operator. He worked the miracle. God performed the miracle. He was the operator. Jesus and Peter walking on the water, turning the water to wine. Jesus had to present that water, those jugs of water, to the person in charge of the wedding, right? And then God was able to work the miracle. He was the operator. We are the operators. God does the miracle. We don't do it. We just work it, okay? Have you ever been in a service where a minister prays and there's legs that are lengthened? I remember that happening here. Pastor tells about the story of a man that didn't have any feet, and he was told to try on a new pair of shoes, and feet grew. Okay? Working of miracles. You have to be obedient, be willing and obedient, and just do what God's showing you to do, and then he works it. All right? Number three, gifts of healings. This is a supernatural act having nothing to do with medical science or a gifted doctor, whereby sickness and disease is cured and a person is brought back to health. Let me say that again. It's a supernatural act. It has nothing to do with medical science, nothing to do with a gifted doctor. It's where sickness and disease is cured and a person is brought back to health. Limbs growing back, and those are two things together, working of miracles and gifts of healings, right? Lazarus being brought back to life, those two things working together, all right? This is one way that people can receive their healing with no faith, with little or no faith on their part, okay? When the gifts of healings are in manifestation, a lot of times we can pray or we can do what we're told to do for this person, and they don't have any faith. They don't have to have any faith operating on their part. It's the Holy Spirit just working that gift. Okay? And there's different ways of operating this gift. Think of the ways that Jesus did it. He spit in the mud and put it on the blind man's eyes. Naaman was told to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. There's ministers who have been told to punch in the stomach or walk on people's backs. Again, gifts of healings in operation. We are the operators. All we need to do is expect it to happen and be obedient. Okay? All right, I think that's all I want to say about that one. The third group of gifts. These are utterance gifts. And these are gifts that say something. Okay? Power gifts did something. Revelation gifts reveal something. And the utterance gifts say something. Number one is prophecy. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known language. In the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, there's a note that says, prophecy is a divine disclosure on behalf of the Spirit, an edifying revelation of the Spirit for the moment, a sudden insight of the Spirit, prompting exhortation or comfort. Okay? Prophecy always has edification, exhortation, and comfort. God wants to speak, and he wants to edify, and he wants to exhort, and he wants to comfort. This is prophecy. This is not something you study for. It's a sudden, direct inspiration from God. Now, you can be teaching a message and have prophecy happen, okay? Because when you teach a message, you prepare certain material. But then, I'm sure if you've ever taught a message before, you realize that there's times where things come out of your mouth and you realize, you know, where did that come from? Or God speaks to specific people in your presence and it's something God wanted to speak at that moment. You didn't prepare for that. Prophecy. Being used in the gift of prophecy does not make you a prophet. Just because, how many of you have been used in the gift of prophecy? You know, I bet you there's more of you that have, and you don't even realize that you did. I bet there's more of you that have spoken some things to people, and it was by the Spirit of God. It was the will of God for that direct moment, and you did not even realize it. Okay? But that doesn't mean we're all prophets. Okay? New Testament prophecy is more forth-telling. You probably have heard Pastor use these two words, forthtelling and foretelling. Foretelling is speaking something in the future. It's like predicting or speaking. That's more of the word of wisdom. Giving something, is God speaking about something in the future. That's foretelling. Forthtelling is basically just speaking forth a message from God for that moment. See the difference? Forthtelling, just speaking forth a message from God at that moment. Foretelling is more of a word of wisdom. Prophecy, like I said, prophecy comes as exhortation, edification, and comfort. The Amplified Bible in 1 Corinthians 14 says, the one who prophesies speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. How many of you have seen prophecy in operation? Probably all of us. If you've ever come to special services, there's a lot of ministers that come and they prophesy something for that moment, individually, for the church. If you've been in a service and pastor says a lot of times before he brings a prophetic word, he'll say, the Lord would say. He makes it very easy to distinguish when God's going to talk. This is God's talking through one of us. And he, a lot of times, says, the Lord would say whatever the Lord wants to say, okay? Or, thus saith the Lord, is something else that you'll hear. And like I said before, this can happen outside the church as well. It doesn't have to be something that just happens inside the church when we come to service. You're just speaking the will of God, the mind of God, for that particular situation, for that particular moment. Number two, utterance gift. different kinds of tongues. Diverse kinds of tongues is another way to say it. It's a supernaturally inspired utterance in a language that's foreign and unlearned to the speaker. Okay? A supernatural inspired utterance in a language that's foreign and unlearned to the speaker. It has nothing to do with a language that you have learned. It's totally supernatural. Okay? How many of you believe that you have... Before I ask that question. This is totally different than your prayer language. And your prayer language is the initial evidence of you being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody understand that? Your prayer language is you speaking to God. This gift of tongues is God speaking through me to others. See the difference? Prayer language, you talking to God. Diverse kinds of tongues, God speaking through you to others. But if we don't understand that tongue, what needs to happen? The number three needs to happen, interpretation of tongues. Different kinds of tongues needs an interpretation or it's not going to help anybody, right? So the interpretation of tongues is just what it means. I'll give you the fancy-dancy definition. The supernatural interpretation of a divinely inspired utterance in an unknown tongue whereby the one interpreting does not know the tongue. It's not a translation of a tongue, but it's an interpretation. It's not word for word, but it's the interpretation of what's just been spoken by the gift of tongues. Let's go back to the gift of tongues. How many of you can recognize your prayer language? I mean, that's pretty recognizable. How many of you have been praying in your prayer language and all of a sudden your tongues change? Okay? That could be the gift of tongues. I believe we've been taught, Louise Brock, I believe, said that we can interpret our own tongues. Sometimes God wants us to, most of the time, it's in a large group like this, church setting, where somebody will use the gift of tongues first, and then somebody else is present to interpret it. But in our own private time, God may want to speak something to us, and so our tongues change, so we're actually using that gift, and then the interpretation comes. Has that ever happened to anybody? It happened to me once. Doesn't happen to me very often. I was in my car and just praying in the Spirit. All of a sudden, my tongues changed, and I knew what God was saying to me, and I actually spoke it out because I was in my car and nobody else was there, and it was really kind of cool. But the different kinds of tongues that this gift is talking about needs to be interpreted, okay? And that's what was happening in the Corinthian church. And Paul was addressing them saying, you can't just be speaking out in tongues and having nobody interpret. That's crazy. That's not edifying anybody. That's not exhorting anybody. That's not comforting anybody. You need the interpretation. There is no biblical illustration of this specifically. But Pastor has, I found in his notes, he says, whenever we're told that the Holy Spirit spoke, this could have been the way. Interesting. Different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Okay? Diane's used in the gift of tongues quite often. She's probably the one that's most in our church body. She has used the two together on her own, gift of tongues, and then she'll interpret it. You've probably seen her gift of tongues and pastor interpret it. There's been times where she gives a gift, is using the gift of tongues, and one of us interprets it, okay? So everybody recognize what we're talking about here, okay? Now, one last thing that I want you to understand about these utterance gifts. We talked about prophecy. We talked about the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Prophecy has the same value, or it equals the other two. So gift of tongues and the interpretation go together, and they equal prophecy. And prophecy equals the other two. Same value. Okay? All right, I have a little bit more time. There's other helpful information that I wanted to give you concerning these. Any questions about any of those? Do you need me to go over any of those for you? I think one of the things that I could say, too, is that was a lot of information I just spit at you. Don't get hung up on the classifications, the ones in each classification, what each one does. The biggest key is realize it's as the Holy Spirit wills, and if you're willing to be used, who cares whether you can say, well, that was just a word of wisdom. If God was able to accomplish something, to say something, to work something, who cares what we tag it? All that matters is that we know that these are ways that the Holy Spirit will move through us. Okay? Some of you look like you've been totally overloaded with information, so I just wanted to make that point. Okay, here's some other considerations. The Holy Spirit will not make you operate in the gifts against your will. You are not, all of a sudden, going to be launched out of your seat, up front, speaking in another tongue. It ain't going to happen. Okay? He will not force you to do anything. It might be his will, but if it's not your will, it's not going to happen. Okay? And he will not force you to do anything that's out of order. There needs to be order when we come together. So, services must have an interpreter. How many of you heard that term before? An interpreter. It's biblical. If you want to look it up, it's 1 Corinthians 14:27-28. There has to be an interpreter. A leader, usually the pastor, is used by God to interpret, explain, and guide the service by the leading of the Holy Spirit. This morning, pastor's not here. It doesn't mean there's no interpreter. It means I am. Okay? It's the person who is kind of steering the flow of the way things are going. Therefore, to keep order in the church, we would not want Robin to all of a sudden stand up and start laying her hands on somebody else over here, and then Ed start standing up and he's speaking in an unknown tongue, and then Bill is doing something else here. There's got to be order. The Holy Spirit is an orderly being. And so therefore, that's why we ask, if you feel like you have something, that the Holy Spirit wants to do something through you, praise God. Don't think twice about it. Go with it. But that's why we ask you to go to the back, so that who's ever up front, most of the time Pastor or Diane are up front, can see that you're back there. Then they will determine, is this the time? Could it be later on in the service? Could it be not for this service? If it's not and you are not called forth, That does not mean that you missed it. It just means maybe it just wasn't for today. Maybe it was just for you. But in everything, realize God wants order in a service, and he wants us to be submitted to those in authority. And if whoever's the interpreter could miss it, it's not a place to get offended by anything. Okay? Let's all work together and just be willing to be used and help one another. Operating in a gift is not in itself a sign of spiritual maturity. Immature, carnal Christians can be used. They were just willing to do what they sensed, to do what they heard. They had a knowing, they had to do something with it. Okay, the Holy Spirit will use anybody. He used a donkey to speak. Okay, and then keep a balance of the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Once again, pursue love, number one thing. And if you pursue love, then the fruit of the Spirit are going to manifest in your life, and you're not going to get real flaky with the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? Number three, receiving by way of the gifts is one way to receive, but it's not the only way. You can be healed. You can receive wisdom or knowledge. You can be encouraged just by being in the Word. Okay? So how do I know when God wants to use me? Here's some questions to ask yourself. Is it God speaking to me, or is this for everybody? Okay? Not every impression we get is from God, though. Okay? But don't get in fear of that and refuse to move. Because if you mess up, you mess up. I've messed up. I've realized afterward, that wasn't God. Okay? Just be willing. Ask yourself, is this for me alone? I mentioned that before. Or is this for everybody else? What do you want me to do with it? What do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to pray about it? Do you want me to talk to somebody about it and see, you know, get some advice? What should I do with this? Do you want me to go to the back? What do you want me to do? And how do you want me to do it? Do you want me to lay hands on? Do you want me to pray over a piece of cloth? Do you want me to spit in mud? do you want me to send a note? Okay, you can prophesy through writing, okay? I think that's where I'm going to stop. All right. In conclusion, the Holy Spirit is ready to move. And remember, you are destined to be used. That is our destiny. That is mine. That is yours. He's wanting to move, and we are destined to move with him. Amen.